All right. My name is Justin, and I'm an addict. And thanks to my God, the steps, and the fellowship of other addicts, I'm sober one day at a time since June 19th, 2015. And for that, I am beyond grateful. Welcome to the RICO 12 speaker meeting. We are an organization whose addictions include alcohol, drugs, lust, and sex, food, and gambling, just to name a few. We come together from all places, faiths, and backgrounds to learn the similarities of addiction and to gain tools and hope from others who are walking a similar path. We invite recovering addicts with at least 1 year sobriety and who are actively working their recovery in their respective fellowships to share their experience, strength, and hope on a live Zoom meeting each Friday at noon Central Time for 20 to 25 minutes. Then we, the live audience, get the opportunity to ask questions of the speaker for another 20 to 25 minutes. In order to ask questions, please type them in the Q&A link at the bottom of your Zoom window. If you are hearing this meeting in recorded podcast form and would like to participate as a live audience member in the future, or if you would like to be a guest speaker in a future meeting, please go to rico12.com to learn more and submit your email address to receive weekly invitations or to submit to become a guest speaker. RICO 12 is a self-supporting service, and we appreciate your help in keeping it that way. We gratefully accept contributions to help cover the costs of the Zoom platform, podcast platform, web hosting, and administrative costs. To contribute, you can go to rico12.com/support, or you can click the link to the PayPal link in the chat of the live meeting. When you contribute, please specify the meeting number that you are contributing after hearing. This is meeting number 40. Last week's meeting was with Michael Brody Waite, and I get to do one more mea culpa and put into practice the principles he shared in that meeting. The mea culpa is that I totally forgot to hit record, and so it was not released as a podcast. I felt awful and horrible, but I have come to peace with it and believe that God needed me to learn those principles viscerally in order for me to learn a life-changing lesson from that experience. Gratefully, Michael, will be coming back to speak so that we can all hear his powerful message on the benefits of living like a drug addict on July 23rd. This week, and yes, I made sure to record this one, we are excited to be hearing from Anita O, and I will get to introducing her in a minute. Now, we recently received a couple more five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and I'll quickly read one of them and thank CWin11 for his review or her review. He or she says, "What I really enjoy about RICO 12 and what keeps me coming back each week is how Justin interviews many different addicts. I have learned so much about my own addiction from hearing recovery journeys of other addicts having other addictions. Very beneficial podcast for those seeking recovery." Thanks again, CWin11. If you, like him or her, find value in RICO 12, please take a moment to go to the podcast platform of your choosing and leave a rating and review. Also, please feel free to share a meaningful episode with any of your recovery network that may benefit from it. It helps us work our 12th step by carrying the message of recovery to more addicts who suffer. Now, one more word about our speakers before we introduce today's speaker, Anita. When we line up a speaker for a meeting, we ask them to seek guidance from their higher power on what and how to present so that they reflect the light they have been given. That light will inspire hope, meaning, worth, and growth in us, the listening audience. Now, let's introduce our guest speaker for today, Anita O. She's been sober since 1991, actively working recovery in the rooms of AA, SLAA, and CODA. She is Canadian, but was living in Los Angeles, where she got sober for the last 30 years. She moved back to Toronto last summer, just in the last 6 months or so, and faced with a ton of pain being back on all fronts, meaning job, health, relationships, family, and wreckage of the past. She says that she wanted to die. But by the grace of God, she was introduced to a whole new way of looking at the steps. And this is after 30 years, and had another awakening, and now lives to carry that message. Anita, the floor is yours. We're excited to hear from you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Justin. That was awesome. That was awesome. My introduction, awesome. I'm a maniac. Oh, just a little nervous. I can feel the energy, and I equate that to presence of a loving God that I can interpret sometimes as fear, but I'm learning to experience it as energy that can be shared from a loving, helpful way. I like this Recall 12 speaker meeting thing. I was on the website earlier and saying that the speaker, the meeting podcast attempts to bring all humans together to recognize that addiction is pretty much the same, no matter what the substance, behavior, or compulsion may be, which is interesting because I'm an alcoholic. That's how I was first introduced to the steps. But I'm also powerless over several other addictions. I had an addiction to bulimia, to cough medicine, to cigarettes, to very toxic relationships. And then I come from alcoholic parents, so I qualify for all the Al-Anon stuff too. And as an alcoholic, I guess that's first brought me to the 12 steps. I can be sober and the substance can be removed, but there can still be a problem. And that's what I found with being back here in Toronto, 6 months ago, or I guess less than 6 months ago, when, even though being sober for such a long period of time and going to meetings in Los Angeles and having a fellowship there and working with a couple women, but not really intensively, coming back here and feeling that I just wanted to die. I mean, I was even attending AA meetings here and listening to people share what was going on in their lives. It wasn't helping. And I think, like, what the heck am I going to do? I just want to kill myself. And part of it, the thing was what Justin ran through was just like work and family stuff and just caught up to me and I didn't see a point in living there. The job, the entertainment business is just such a nightmare and being there in California and watching that explode and not go anywhere and being faced with that failure. And then coming back here and being faced with, I had a lot of wreckage in the past. My younger sister died of, alcoholism and bulimia. And there was one thing to heal from it. And what the part I played in being separated from it, but being here on an experiential level and in these rooms where she died is like, oh my God, brings a whole other emotional burden to it. And I didn't think I was going to get free from it. So that's when I started going back to meetings and I thought, okay, I'll go to a CODA meeting. I'll just see what that's like. So I go to these CODA meetings and there's irony in this. I go to these CODA meetings and go to these SLA meetings because it's involved in a bunch of toxic relationships. And I go to these SLA meetings and they're talking about the 12 steps. They're working ahead of the big book of the 12 of Alcoholics Anonymous, very specifically to, and it kind of blew my mind. And, I got hope from there. And, I got introduced to a whole new way of working the 12 steps. And one of the things that they said that I heard is replace drinking with thinking, replace drink with think, with the thought. And that relates back to that page where you're saying no matter what the substance or behavior may be, where the compulsion, where is the space where that first thought comes? How do I get that space to have a choice? Where am I graced with that? Where am I graced with that space? And it's only through this fellowship that it was so weird, like to get back to alcoholic, the purity of the message of what's in the big book from the 12 steps through a CODA meeting and through a SLA meeting. There's a gentleman who those meetings are affiliated with, this gentleman who distilled the first 164 pages of the big book into a workbook, and he does this workshop. And he took all the sort of flowery language out of it and just put the instructions into a document. And it was that coupled with replace a drink for think that made me see what the message was in a whole new way. And one of the first things that it says on the to do is that when you're going through a workbook, it's like, you're going to be a sponsor. And I go like, what the F is this? I mean, I downloaded the workbook to read. And but before I started going, someone was going to take me through it. And when I read that, it's like, no, this isn't going to work. And because I was coming at it from just the exposure I had on it, I didn't have that experiential experience yet. And so I had all this judgment about it, but because I was in so much pain, I was willing to surrender and willing to go through it and willing to go through that workbook and willing to go through that workbook with another, God bless her, Nikki, you've had her on here. Such a powerful message that woman carries. To be taken through this workbook with her on, and that's where the experience happened again. I mean, I've been graced with this experience of God. It was me, her, and another presence, a loving God of this fellowship. And that's where I came to see this quote in the big book. Each individual in the personal stories describes in their own language and from their own point of view the way he established his relationship with God. That's what it's about. How am I going to, where's the relationship with God? Where's my relationship with God? And it was, it was the triangle. It was such a great experience to have that healing. And then being, understanding, like, to continue that, have that exposure and to be healed, I have to transmit it. Because when my younger sister died and I tried to transmit the steps to her, she came out and was living with me in California for a while. I wanted the fellowship to fix her. I wanted meetings to fix her. I didn't know how to transmit these steps to her. And I think a lot of people there in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous didn't know either. And she died, you know. Yesterday was a milestone. It's now 26 years since she died on March 11th. And going to the grave site, the irony being that the pain of her death, like I try to carry the message to her. I failed. She died drunk and from bulimia. So she's like now had a spiritual experience. The pain of that drove me back to the rooms. I had a spiritual experience. So there's something there that's cyclical, that's tied in. She's actually carrying the message to me. It's no human power. And the women that I work with today am attempting to carry the message to today are oftentimes doing more for me than what I'm doing for them. Because I'm able to experience a power, and it gives me hope. That's where my hope comes from today. Oh my God, this is giving me hope. I can experience this loving force right here, right now. So just for today, okay, I'm good to go now. Okay, let's get off the go. I got you right now. I have a reason to live for today. This is awesome. And it's like, I don't want to get too much into personalities, but this workbook, I'm telling you, I've been through the big book and so many times, and I just, it's like it's that the exposure to it, I couldn't see the solution anymore after being sober for so many years. You know, I'd read it and it's just not, it's for whatever reason, it's not resonating. It's weird. That's why it's like each person in their own words has to say, okay, this is how I found God. And this is how you can too. Or that's what worked for me. Believe me, I've tried so many other different ways. I've tried to do, I've never wanted to come back to AA. There's so many different, I've tried so many churches. I've tried meditation, doing meditation for hours and hours. I've tried the Course in Miracles. I've done that a couple times. There's something about my resistance, about my ego. I don't want to be in a 12-step program. I don't know what that is, but thank God for the pain. That it does drive me back, and I'm continually blessed with a miraculous solution, so that I can get to the principles and attempt to practice them in all my affairs. The principles being, you know, surrender, faith, trust, action, honesty, willingness, humility, forgiveness, authenticity, being in the moment, selflessness, and service. It's so amazing. Even meetings, I was just looking at some notes here that I jotted down. Meetings don't do that to me. Meetings can drive me nuts. It really is that working one-on-one with a person and transmitting this through this independent process that I have an experience. I can experience a loving God of the fellowship that gives me purpose. What else? And I don't even know, like, okay, if another 5 years from now, if my mind is going to work, so it's going to twist this workbook into saying that this is now configured into something that doesn't work anymore. But there's something bare bones about this, that it takes it down to the idea of a thought. I'm powerless over thinking. Like, the substance is stripped away. Okay. I'm powerless over this thought that's coming up. It's really fine tuned it for me anyway, because even though I had the alcohol, there was still the caffeine I could use. There was still the food that I'd be going to. There's still the cigarettes I'd be smoking like a maniac. There's still just like as I progress or age in the program, it seems like those things just get stripped away. I'm so grateful, and so grateful for that process, in the process of, and I think you've even that 12-step program, that big book guide, what a way to do it. Wow. It's just, I'm such a mind-blowing experience. I just am so grateful. And I think that's about it.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Anita. I really appreciate it. And I've got several questions that I look forward to asking of you. And I'm sure that there are others from the audience as they come in. Remember, if you're in the live audience, please type in questions in the Q&A link at the bottom. Before we move on to the next portion of the Q&A portion of the meeting, Anita, would you mind taking just 30 to 60 seconds and sharing about how your current home group fellowship helps you in your life and your walk in recovery?
I think the fact is that they refer to the book and they're not afraid to talk about God. Whereas there were certain other fellowships that I went to that it's all like, okay, well, I'm here with you guys and that's all that's important I can share. And it becomes a group therapy thing, which not to say that doesn't work, but that's not what's going to do it for me. And that's something that I hold dear to my heart, that these guys are able to bypass that and our real reliance is always on him, that one who has all power. And that's what I'm after. I'm not here for human support, although it does come through human, and it is a key element, and that I have to carry a message to another suffering alcoholic to have that on an experiential level. The power doesn't come from another human being.
Thank you for sharing that. That's something I also find in my own home group is the willingness to be open about the fact that my recovery has everything to do with a power greater than myself and not based on, you know, what one other person shares in a meeting or whatever. Now that person can offer experience, strength, and hope, but it always turns me gratefully back to that power greater than myself. Thank you for sharing that. All right. Now it's time for our guest speaker to answer your questions. I've received a few and I've got several also that I'd like to ask, but in order to ask those questions, please type them into the Q&A bubble down at the bottom of your Zoom window. And we'll get to those as we get there. First of all, Anita, I mean, you have a fairly unique story here. You got sober from alcohol, you know, 30 years ago. You lived that way for that long, but you were still miserable at the end of it. You, in your own words, I wanted to die. Tell me what it was like to be sober for 30 years. And I've heard it called a dry drunk basically in the past, and then choosing to start all over with the steps again. What was that like to have to go, well, I guess I have to start here at step one again. How did you feel about that?
Well, you know, actually it happened. I didn't go a whole 30 years. I actually even had another spiritual experience in California after about like 7 or 8 years. I was finding other ways I got sober in Narcotics Anonymous, that just the people I thought were cooler and I wanted to hang out with them. And being in Los Angeles, I went to a lot of late night meetings and actresses and saxophone players, and that got caught up in that whole sort of lust relationship thing. And they went out, and I wasn't a fan of heroin, and I didn't go out with them, and or they died. Heroin has a tendency to do that. So then I said, you know, F the meetings, I'm never going back there, because it was nothing but pain. During that time, I had trying to sober up my sister Kira, but then she wouldn't do that. And she came back here to Toronto, and then she died. And it was the pain of that, her dying, and me knowing that she was going to die, and knowing that she was going to die of bulimia and alcohol. But her condition was a little bit worse than mine. It caused her to have these epileptic seizures. So then she just wouldn't stop, and then finally had a grand mal that killed her. And knowing that she was going to die, and the pain of that, and that, then I really wanted to die. So I came crawling back into the rooms. It was pain that drove me back. That's what it was like. It was always the last place I wanted to go. That's what it was like. Cause it was like, I am never going back to those meetings again. And being here in Toronto this last time, I was willing to go back to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, but I wasn't hearing the message. I was hearing group therapy, which made me go to that CODA meeting and that SLA meeting and hear the way they carry the message through this workbook that really that kicked it all off for me. But pain. Yeah. I can take a lot of pain and find creative ways to live with the pain.
Go ahead.
Until I'm faced with like, okay, my only option is like, okay, how am I going to kill myself?
And that workbook is the Big Book Sponsorship workbook that is found there at bigbooksponsorship.org, right?
Right.
I love that workbook. I use it quite a bit in my own sponsoring and everything. I haven't attended that monthly workshop yet with Cameron. He's been a guest speaker on here too. Yeah. But that's something that definitely I would highly recommend, at least checking out the workbook. I can't say firsthand, but Anita can say firsthand, to attend that workshop. And I believe it's every fourth Saturday or Sunday.
Last Sunday of the month.
The last Sunday of each month. And you can register for it there at bigbooksponsorship.org. Fantastic service, fantastic stuff. All right. Here is a question that comes from Ryan. He asks, for those of us listening, can you provide some specific examples to help us understand if our groups are more of a group therapy versus a God experience? What do you find yourself doing What do you find yourself doing to help the groups you attend stay God-centered? Great question. Thanks, Ryan.
Share my own experience with God. Don't be afraid. Even if I'm going to piss people off, talk about, use the word God, use that terminology. Usually if I'm in a meeting and I just need to share about this problem and I just need to get this off my chest. And that's a sign that there's something that's great. And that can be helpful, but that's not what these meetings to me are for. There's therapy for that. There's friends for that. There's support group for that. There's support outside the meeting. It's not, I need to be in the reflection of a higher power, of God, of a loving God working in your life. And just to see how that, I want to see how that's working in your life so I can be uplifted. I want to reflect off your experience. And then, so I'm not afraid, then let me share you off. Look at what's happening to me that there's no, I could never have done this. Look at how this miraculous thing is going on in my life. Let me rejoice in this with you, hopefully.
Yeah, thank you. I really like that. And then, so you mentioned some of the, you know, if it becomes almost a surrender fest to each other rather than to God in the meeting, that's when it's not as God-centered. It becomes more group therapy. Is that kind of what you were saying with that? Like, yeah, if I'm saying, I really got to get off my chest.
Yeah, I just got to get it. Like, because I've been in group therapy and it's been extremely helpful. I just want to share this to the group. But it's not about spiritual principles, or it's not about God. And it's not about how God is, what is that quote? Look, each individual in the personal stories describes in his own language and from his own point of view, the way he established his relationship with God. That's even what a share is supposed to be about. How are you establishing your relationship with God in your trials and tribulations in your life? Share that with me. Give it to me.
You know? I love that. I love the way that you are describing this. I think it really offers a lot of clarity to me for my own shares in meetings, but also for my own edification from other shares. How does that apply to me and my relationship with God? Awesome. Thank you for sharing that, Anita. I have a question for you that I ask sponsees, and I've asked a lot of other people that I've interviewed in the past. And this might take a minute here, but I'd like to ask you to define for me in your own words, in your own experience, four terms. The first one being abstinence, the second being sobriety, the third being recovery, and the fourth being healing. So it's kind of four somewhat synonyms, but I think in steps. Tell me a little bit about what your definition for each of those would be in your experience.
So what's the first one? Abstinence?
Yes. The first one is abstinence.
Well, I guess the abstinence is putting down the substance. The thing is that I couldn't do that without assistance. I couldn't put down, I was made, I got a DUI, I was made to put down the alcohol. And then I started doing marijuana, and then someone saying, well, that's actually still mind altering. And then, okay, I'll put down the marijuana, and then I picked up the cough medicine. I mean, what do you mean? What's wrong with cough medicine? I buy it in the store. It's like, well, no, it's like, then, you know, you look in the back of my car and there's like 40 bottles, empty bottles of cough medicine. It's like, something, you know. Then if it's not, I put down the cough medicine, then I'll pick up the cigarettes. Okay, but I'm abstinent from the cough medicine or the toxic relationship. It's like just putting down the substance isn't true healing. And I've been blessed when I'm an addict alcoholic that I just take one little bit of the thing and I'm out of control. Whereas there's other people who are abstinent who can just put it down and like are cool with it. I'm not able to do that. So abstinence isn't happening with me. Then what's the other one? Sobriety?
Sobriety is the next term. Yes.
What is it like? What does that mean to me? I guess sobriety is sobriety now means to me is a relationship with God and expressing that and carrying that message. Sobriety, I think, it encompasses the whole package. I got to participate on a daily basis. Okay, what does the next 24 hours look like? How am I going to be useful? How can I be of loving service? I think sobriety to me encompasses service. What's the next one?
Recovery.
And so would recovery. I mean, being out in LA, it's interesting too. Like, the treatment centers are big there. And I used to go on these panels to treatment centers in some beautiful places up on the coast and in Malibu and stuff. And it's like, okay, it's a treatment center. It's a recovery place. And there's like horses and there's hot tubs over here. And it's beautiful. And there's the ocean. And you've got these people who have been there, like, who are paying tens of thousands of dollars to be there and who have been there on several visits. It's like you talk to one person and, oh, this is my third time. It's okay. This is the recovery set. This is not recovery, but it's called recovery. Recovery in the whole app, the substance abuse platform has the weird term for me. I guess just from being out there with recovery. Personally, recovery means, would I have this image of me like crawling back in the rooms, like, give me recovery. I have to be beaten. I guess that's why it's recovery, because it's like a recovery mission. I've been beaten. So I'm crawling, but I'm crawling to safety.
Thank you. And then the last term is healing.
So crawling to safety, and then the healing comes from God. Then I'm blessed again. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
With go energy, ahead. Wanting to live and wanting to carry that message and just like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned in your share earlier that when you first opened up this workbook, some of the first things you read were, hey, you're going to be a sponsor someday. And someday pretty soon, I think, is how it says it or infers it anyways. How is that working for you right now? Are you out there? How are you working your step 12 right now?
There's a couple of women. I mean, it's really great. I guess being an alcoholic, I'm always going to have resistance. Like someone will call and just like, oh, I don't want to do this, but then I'll do it. And I feel so much better. I feel the purpose. I'm always up with the resistance. That's why even when I first read it in the thing, you are going to be a sponsor. I was like, what? It's awesome. What was the question? I forgot.
Just how are you working your 12 step? You're doing great. If there's anything else you want to add to it, you can. Yeah.
There's a couple. What's interesting is that because through the workbook, you just got to take them through the workbook. It's fantastic. It's just like, wow. Because before, when I would sponsor people in Los Angeles at the end there, when I was like trying to take people through the steps, it's so hard to get through this big book now with the reading and Mr. Jones and his attention to my wife and that same old thing. It's like, and one thing about the workbook is that recently that there's women who I was working with where they just can't continue on and they fall off because they won't continue on. It's great. So I don't have to get into any sort of issues, my codependent issues of wanting to drag them through the process. Oh, here, just let me hear your story. Let me do this and this and go down some other twirly path with them that's not helping them or me. Like, the whole thing has got to be 50-50. It's a triangle that has equal sides, right? Like, it's you, me, and God. There's purpose here. You're just as much of the program as I am in this process, and we're going through together. This workbook blesses me with that process. I don't have to. I'm so grateful that there's been some women that just don't want to do it, and it's revealed through going through these pages, and they need to suffer more or whatever. And of course, I don't know if that sounds cold-hearted or what, but I don't see any other way.
Yeah, I mean, that's the concept of one has to hit their rock bottom in order to recover. And, some people's rock bottoms are lower than others, and some people aren't willing to get there. And that is a hard concept for me too. Try not to drag somebody rather than say, hey, let's walk together and go at their pace, you know? And if they're not doing their part, I got to say, hey.
So like even now, like there's been, I'm blessed with like maybe six to eight women. There's only one who's still, she's, you know, still checking in with me and stuff. The others have just not, you know, not wanted to continue.
Yeah, that's a hard thing. And especially early on in sponsorship, I found it when somebody would kind of drop off, I took it as a personal thing, you know, oh, I must not be doing well enough, good enough as a sponsor. It's a really neat thing to be able to break away and say, you know what? I'm doing what I can. I'm following what I think God is directing me to do. And hopefully that person will come along. Another question for you, not a question. It's an acknowledgement that I apologize. I haven't acknowledged yet. I just want to offer my condolences on the anniversary yesterday of the passing of your sister. It sounds like she did. There was a great influence in your life, you know, even if it was learned from a hard lesson, that influence. Tell us a little bit about, you mentioned that higher power, kind of her being not the higher power, but the one who is helping walk you through that, at least that experience. What does that mean to you that she is, kind of being that example, even from beyond the grave?
Well, as I said, I never wanted to come back to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous because of those other people who died or went out. I didn't see the solution here. And it was only through her having her ultimate spiritual experience and dying, that drove me back to the rooms, to then have a spiritual experience. And then being here now, and that this is some like 20 years ago, and then being here in Toronto now, this last time, being faced with the pain of that again, I'm at my mother's house, my grandmother's house, and she died in the next room there. And it brings up a whole set of regret and self-loathing in myself, and a whole new pain that I want to say, I guess, forced me to surrender. So it's like just a deeper message of, oh, and then also that I find the purpose in these women, seeing young women heal and bearing witness to their recovery through this process is uplifting too.
I'd like to ask kind of a personal question. Hopefully it may not be personal, maybe just be digging a little deeper than you may be comfortable. And if you want to say, hey, I don't want to talk about that, I'm totally cool with that. But how did you go through this process of your sister dying in step 4, 5, 8, and 9? What was that like for you as you did those things in that process in her addiction, her process towards eventual death?
Doing the inventory on myself, like the self-loathing I had for myself. I mean, I had so much resentment against myself, and I had so much resentment against my mother. My mother's a schizophrenic. The circumstances are just, I don't know. The details, but they're so the hardest thing about the most resentment I have against myself is that 25 odd years ago this was the hardest thing for me to live with, that I tried to shove the program down her throat because it's saying go to a effing meeting, and I wasn't able to transmit the steps. And the other thing was that I drove away from this house and to go back to Los Angeles. And as I was in the cab with my sister and we were going to the airport, and just as they were about to pull away, and I knew what the situation, what Kira was like living here. She was just being bulimic every day and drinking every day and lying in bed. And I turned to my sister and said, she's going to die there. She's going to die in that house. And then 2 months later, she was dead. So the self-loathing that I had and regret was no, like I can't reason that away. You know, no self-help group is going to make that okay with no group therapy is going to make that. Oh, it's okay, Anita. It's like, we love you. Live for yourself. You did all you could. Nothing is going to make that okay. Because I've tried that and I've done that. As I've said, the only thing that made it okay was to be relieved of the pain through the steps and the regret, and then bearing witness to the change in another suffering alcoholic to see the purpose of these steps and how bear witness to the change, to bear witness to God in another suffering alcoholic that makes life worth living.
Thank you so much for sharing that. How powerful. How do you go about making amends with yourself and with others? You mentioned your mom, and we don't need to go into details there, but in working that step 9 in that situation, so hard, but you shared some really powerful stuff there. I'd like to dig there for just a minute, if you're okay with that.
How do I make amends to be of service? Like, oh, this last thing, because I still, like, I knew she was going to die because I was an alcoholic and a bulimic, and my family aren't. Natalie, my older sister, isn't an alcoholic. She can drink. And so some of the challenges I had with my older sister were coming up when I was here and I was working the steps with Nikki, and still some resentment was coming up. And I remember I was downstairs and I was free. These feelings were coming up and Nikki said, you know, get downstairs and be of service. Just like, you get downstairs and be of service. And when all else fails, be of service. And that transformed it for me. How can I be right now of service to this person who I have resentment? I mean, there's still this resentment that's coming up. I've done the inventory. Why do I still feel this resentment and this pain? Be of service. It was something about her command in that voice. I don't know what it was, but it's like, okay, I went down there and I was let go of the resentment for now and just try and be of service to her any way I can and come at this. And there was healing.
So for you, the healing comes through serving, which I think is a very awesome way for that to happen. It's a hard thing to do, though. When I'm feeling resentment towards someone, one of the last things I want to do is serve. But you mentioned that Nikki, who's a firecracker, if she says, yeah, get down there and be of service, I think that would be marching orders for me.
Yeah. But it was also a process. It did come off the process of being in so much pain and being willing to surrender to the steps first. But it's like the last thing I want to do is to be of service. It really is.
Well, very good. Well, thanks for sharing. We've got time for maybe one more question after this this final thing here from me. So if anybody here in the audience has another question to ask, please type that in the Q&A. But what I'd like, Anita, if you could just kind of share any words of wisdom that you have for us, for somebody, in fact, I'm going to target this a little bit more, words of wisdom to somebody who is currently suffering in addiction and doesn't know what to do and is afraid to make that first step to step into a room of recovery or reach out to somebody. If you wouldn't mind just sharing some words of wisdom for that person, that would be fantastic.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if there's words of wisdom. If you're in that pain, you have the loving God in your life too, just as I do, and be still and listen to that small, still voice in you so that you're directed in whatever surroundings you are, that you'll be taken care of. It's that God's everywhere, right? He's in my heart. He's in the suffering alcoholic's heart too. So it's like, I don't have that kind of power. I don't know what you should do. Go to meetings. I don't know. Don't go to me. I mean, me not going to meetings helped me get to the pain point of pain where I was willing to surrender, to walk into a meeting that where I heard the right message. Be still and know that you have God. Because deep down, it's like in that the big deep down in every person is that small, still voice that is God. We're just helping them get there when they're ready. but it's contingent on willingness.
Thank you.
Each person's willingness.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you, Anita. I really appreciate that. That was a great RICO 12 weekly speaker meeting for all addicts and those wanting to learn more about addiction and the recovery therefrom. If you have any other questions or would like to ask questions of our little community, you can go to RICO12.com/forum and join in our community and start questions and conversations with others who are joined in there. And answer anything, share your own experience, strength, and hope. I invite the audience to come back next week. If you have not yet gone to RICO12.com and submitted your email address, you only need to do it once. Please get on the invitation list so you can join us live each Friday at noon Central Time. And now we're looking to fill guest speakers in like late July and August and September. Next week, our guest speaker is Heston C., and I'm really excited to hear from him. Let's see. So if you'd like to become a guest speaker in the future, reach out to me and we'll get that set up. Anita has elected to have us launch off into the rest of our day with the Serenity Prayer. And she's asked me to say that. So I'll go ahead and do that. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. Amen. Keep coming back, everybody. It works when I work it. So work it. You are worth it.
Life of mine, peaks too high to conquer.